Please turn in your copies of God's Word to Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1. And last week we began this prophetic book and began to see that Jehovah has a message for the people of Israel. And that message was to be proclaimed throughout the life of the prophet Hosea. This message is not a happy message. It's a message of judgment. It's a message of condemnation. It's a message of destruction. But as we will see today, this is not the fullness of the message. But there is a message of hope as well. So we'll take up the continuance of this message here this afternoon, and with that in mind, give your attention to the reading of God's Word from Hosea chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together, and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say ye unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Thus far the reading of God's word, may he add a blessing unto it, and let us go to him once again in prayer. O Lord, we are thankful for this word which thou hast given us, this word which has been kept pure in all ages. This word which is a difficult word given unto the people of Israel and is a difficult word even for us today. O Lord, let us learn from these judgments pronounced upon thy people, that we may not fall into the same traps that our forefathers had. O Lord, we ask that thou wouldst teach us from this prophecy. Teach us the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let it be clear unto us that Jehovah is a faithful God and keeps his covenant to all generations. O Lord, we ask that the preacher would decrease so that Christ Jesus would be magnified this day. We ask that what is preached today would not be the enticing words of man's wisdom, but would be in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power. O Lord, feed us with thy word. We ask this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. As we saw last week, the nation of Israel was given to all sorts of whoredoms. This came by way of their embracing the idolatrous practices, beginning with those two golden calves that Jeroboam, son of Nebat, erected in Dan and Bethel. And then it ultimately culminated in the worshiping of Baal and other false gods. Remember, the Israelites were God's chosen people. They were those whom He had covenanted with in a unique relationship. But the people did not keep the covenant. And they forsook that which they had sworn to Jehovah. They had turned their backs on Him while seeking after vain things. This relationship is that which is symbolized in the marriage of Hosea and Gomer. Hosea, the prophet of God, was commanded of the Lord to go and take unto himself a wife of whoredoms so that his marriage would play out the story of the marriage between Jehovah and Israel. And we saw last week that the whoredoms of Israel had incurred the wrath of the Lord, and that He would bring about a decisive and ultimate judgment upon them. This judgment was personified in the firstborn in this marriage relationship, the son named Jezreel, meaning Jehovah scatters. This spoke of the great judgment which was to come upon Israel, that they would be overtaken and destroyed, and ultimately they would be scattered about as the chaff in the wind. But this is not the only judgment that's pronounced in this opening chapter of this prophecy. No, Jezreel is just the beginning of the judgments that were to befall upon the whorish nation of Israel. But even in the midst of great judgment, the Lord is sure to make known that there is hope to be found. And this is the theme which we will focus on this afternoon, that there is hope to be found in the midst of judgment. And we'll consider this theme by looking at three aspects of our text. First, no mercy. Next, not my people. And finally, a faithful God. This message of judgment upon Israel continues with the birth of Gomer's second child, Lo Ruhamah, no mercy. And she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhamah, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. It's interesting here that we're told only that Gomer bore a daughter and not that she bore Hosea a daughter like she did a son in verse 3. And we'll see in verse 8 the same thing is said about their second son. And this is very likely because these children were not Hosea's, but instead were products of Gomer returning to her life of whoredoms. Chapter 2, verse 4 seems to support this, where it says, and I will not have mercy upon her children, for they are children of whoredoms. Here is Hosea, a faithful man of God, a prophet that is given by the Lord to pronounce judgment upon them for their whoredoms, and he is now given a child of illegitimacy. And this is because Israel had become a people born out of the whoredoms of the land. They were no legitimate children anymore because Israel had become Jezreel and they had become children of whoredoms. What a sad truth this is, that the embracing of idolatry so corrupts everything within a nation that its offspring can be cannot be anything other than an illegitimate child of whoredoms. Friends, this ought to be a dire warning for us as a nation. We are a people who have been enlightened by the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet our nation en masse has embraced all different kinds of perversions and idolatries. How much longer can we expect this nation to stand before all that can be said of us is that we too are children of whoredoms? And the same can be said of the church. Look at the idolatry, the perversions, the blasphemies, the heresies which have infiltrated the church and corrupted the pure worship of Jehovah. Will the Lord let this stand? The answer is no. The question is, will He grant repentance or will He pour out His judgment? For Israel, the answer is given in the name of the second child, Lo Ruhamah, no mercy. The Lord is saying, I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. There's nothing more terrifying than to hear those words, for it is solely because of the mercy of the Lord that we are not consumed. Richard Phillips says, the message, however, was directed at them. They were the children of a harlot nation, Israel, which had long since been given over to the worship of idols. They were the offspring whose legitimacy was called into question so that mercy should not be extended to them by the Lord. The people of Israel had for a long time, a very long time, abused the Lord's mercies. They ought to have been utterly destroyed at the first instance of their whoredoms, but He spared them for a particular purpose. And that purpose was in order that the ripe time of vengeance would come. This is that which was prophesied by Habakkuk in chapter 1, verse 12 of his prophecy. O thou, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. The Lord had for many years shown His favor to them, though they never ceased at any time to seek destruction to themselves. Everything that they did heaped judgment upon judgment, building up the wrath of the Lord that was reserved for that day of vengeance. And that day had come, in a sense. For at least the promise of the day had come. The Lord promises that He is done with Israel, that He will no longer have mercy on them, that He will utterly take them away. The time had come when the sin of the people was so great that it caused Jehovah to no longer have pity on them. And this phrase that is translated, utterly take them away, carries with it a finality. He's saying that there will not be a recovery from the destruction that's about to take place. Friends, I don't know if you've ever experienced the withdrawing of the Lord's mercies from you because of your sin, even if it's just in a small measure, but even the thought of it ought to make you tremble. The threatening of taking away His mercy ought to be enough to draw you back to Him. One commentator writes, God is merciful. He is long-suffering. His love does endure forever. But when we insist on our own way and persevere in our sin, the time comes when the daily mercies of the Lord are withdrawn from us and we are abandoned to our folly so that we might learn to turn back to Him. But the hearts of Israel were so hardened that they would not heed this warning. And the same withdrawing of mercy, the same promise of destruction is not given to Judah. It's given to Israel, but not to Judah. Instead, the Lord promises the opposite for the southern kingdom. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and I will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor by horsemen. Judah had embraced many of the same sins and idolatries as Israel, yet the Lord promised that He would have mercy on them and save them. Why? This is because for all of their sins, the people of Judah retained the biblical gospel bound up in the name and the grace of the Lord, the true and saving God. So it remains today that the decisive difference between no mercy and mercy is found through faith in the true God and through His gospel of grace in Jesus Christ. What was true in Hosea's time remains true today. The key to salvation is the gospel. Friends, there will come a time in which the mercy of the Lord will be removed completely from you if you are outside of the Lord Jesus. If you've never embraced the gospel, then you will experience that same judgment which the Lord promised upon the nation of Israel. Not a physical destruction, but a spiritual damnation. Do not be numbered among those who are given the name Lo Ruhamah in that last day, but instead flee to Christ. Flee to the Lord of mercy, the one who will save you, not by might or any good found within you, but by Himself through the shedding of His blood on the cross. It is only in submission to Jehovah that you will find pity, that you will find mercy. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Psalm 103:13. So flee to Him and find mercy, never ending. The third message of judgment came in the birth of the third child, Lo Ami, not my people. Now when she had weaned Lo Ruhamah, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people. And I will not be your God. Notice that it's after she had weaned Lo Ruhamah that her next child was conceived and born. In those days, a child would not typically be weaned until around 3 years old. And so this means that there was a reprieve for a time. This signifies that Jehovah, while removing His mercy from the people of Israel, would not bring about their destruction immediately, but that there would be a time between the removal of mercy and the final judgment of becoming not His people. And this ultimate judgment, this is the ultimate judgment. This is that which ought to make anyone who has ever called upon the name of the Lord tremble in fear. Jehovah says, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. This is the God who hates divorce, essentially pronouncing a divorcement upon his people. He's saying that their idolatry, their whoredoms, had so perverted and defiled the covenant between them that they were no longer even to be considered His. Friends, this means that the nation of Israel had become the enemy of God. And if you know anything about Scripture, you know that the enemies of the Lord never bode well. This is the final step in the great apostasy of the nation of Israel. They have essentially been excommunicated from the Lord. What a dreadful place this had to be, to find yourself being cut off from the people of God as an entire people, as an entire nation. This is what the Lord is saying when He declares that they are no longer His people. He's saying that the covenant relationship which they had enjoyed for so long, that special fellowship that they had with Jehovah, that covenant community that they had reaped the benefits of for so long, had been stripped away. This is the reversal, so to speak, of Exodus 6, 7, where the Lord says, "And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God." That's precisely what our text says, that it's a reversal of it. Ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. The Hebrew makes this even more emphatic. He is saying, you are lo ruhamah, not my people. And my name to you is now lo eyeh, not your God. No more would the people of Israel be able to claim that they are part of the covenant people of God. No longer would the Lord know them as Jehovah, that covenant name which signified their relationship with Him. No, now Israel would be no different than all of the other heathen nations. And this is what they wanted, right? They wanted to be able to worship however they pleased. They wanted to be able to worship whatever and whoever they pleased. They wanted to be able to live lives of debauchery without any restraints or consequences. They wanted to be like the heathen nations. And so the Lord made them like the heathen nations. They were no longer His people. They were cast off, stripped away from the inheritance that comes with being His people, cut off from the land and scattered among the nations so that they would never be a people again. They were excommunicated from the covenant community. Friends, this is the height of God's judgment upon the people of Israel. And friends, this is the same judgment that awaits you if you remain unrepentant in your sins. You may be able to slyly hide your idolatries from the rest of the body. You may be able to indulge in your perversions and your debauchery in secret for the time being. But there will come a day when all is brought to the light. And if that day comes when you're still on this earth, then the judgment will be handed out in a temporal sense through the discipline of the church. This judgment is what makes excommunication such a big deal. You're not just being chastised for your sins. You're not just being told to get out from the congregation. No, excommunication is the solemn pronouncement that you are not His people and He is not your God. What a terrible judgment that is. What a terrible thing it is to be cut off, severed from the covenant community, and to be made just like the heathen around you. But there are some who will hide their unrepentance until the day of judgment, and it will be then that all things are laid bare. If you are one who lives in hypocrisy until the day of judgment, then you will hear a very similar pronouncement, but this time it will come from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I'm pleading with you today. Do not let that be you. To hear those words is the worst of all judgments, because you will be cast into outer darkness. If you want to live like hell now, you will one day find yourself there where you will live like it in the torments of it forever. Do not forsake that covenant which you have made with the Lord. Do not lose your first love, whoring after the love of vain worldly pleasures. Hold fast to the faith once delivered unto the saints. Hold fast to Christ and the salvation which is found in Him. Hold fast to the promise of Exodus 6:7, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. But if all of this is true of Israel, if the Lord has removed His mercies from them and has made them not His people, then can it be said that Jehovah has failed in keeping His covenant? After all, it is to be an everlasting covenant. There are only two ways to answer this question. The first is to say, yes, Jehovah has failed to keep His covenant. And if that's the case, then you might as well close your Bible, go home, and do whatever you want. If this means that Jehovah failed to keep His covenant, then there's no way to have confidence in anything that is said in the Scriptures. If He has failed in this, then there's no way to have confidence that He will not fail in any of His other promises. If you're going to hold to this position that Jehovah failed in keeping His covenant with Israel, then you have to hold the position that He is no God at all. Because God is perfect and He keeps His word faithfully. So that's the first way you could answer this question. And the second is to say, no, Jehovah did not fail to keep His covenant with Israel. Israel failed to keep their covenant with Jehovah, and they incurred the wrath of God as a result. The covenant always had with it the promise of covenant blessings for those who remained faithful to it, as well as a covenant curses for those who despised it. Jehovah did exactly what He had promised that He would do. He gave the people of Israel exactly what they wanted. He is perfect, and His judgment upon this nation is a perfect judgment. But most importantly, we see that this faithful God gives forth, even in the midst of judgment, a message of divine hope. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say ye to unto your brethren, Ami, and to your sisters, Ruhamah. Jehovah just told the nation of Israel that they would be destroyed, utterly taken away, and that He would not have mercy on them any longer. And yet here He is promising that the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. This is a reiteration of that covenant promise made to Abraham in Genesis 15:5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. The offspring of Abraham was to be so innumerable that it was to be compared to the stars of the sky or the sand of the sea. There would arise out of the judgment a faithful few who would be preserved so that the promises of Jehovah remain, as Isaiah 10:22 says. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consummation decreed shall overflow with righteousness. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. And not only that, but it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. That great and terrible judgment of being cut off from the covenant will be reversed. And those who were once not his people will be called sons of the living God. Friends, what an incredible promise this is. That Jehovah does remain faithful to his promises. And this hope is ultimately found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in the gospel that the number of those who are the true seed of Abraham, the true Israel of God, are to be counted as more numerous than the stars of the sky or the sand of the seashore. It is in the gospel of Jesus Christ that those who were once not his people are brought nigh unto him and made sons of the living God. They deserve not salvation, but its exact opposite, the judgment that accompanies unbelief and idolatry. Nonetheless, by grace alone, those who were called no mercy would receive mercy, and not my people would be called the children of God. This is precisely what the Apostle Paul argues in Romans 9, verses 22 to 25. What if God, willing to show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much longsuffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of the glory of the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. This is what the Apostle John says in John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that the heathen people are made to be the chosen seed of Abraham. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered up and appoint themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that which unites us together. It's that which gathers together that which was once scattered of God, and it unites us under one head. No more will there be a king in Judah and a king in Israel, but there is now one king, Zion's only king and head, the man Christ Jesus. John Calvin writes, The church of the Lord is only rightly formed when the true David rules over it. That is, when all with one consent obey Christ and submit to his bidding, and how Christ designs to rule in his church, we know, for the scepter of his kingdom is the gospel. What a glorious truth this is. and great shall be the day of Jezreel. I trust you remember that Jezreel means scattered of God. But that's not the whole of its meaning. It actually has another meaning. And that other meaning is the sown of God, or Jehovah sows. Jehovah is promising in this verse that those who were once scattered will now be sown, planted by the Lord in order to bring about this great harvest. What a grand reversal of all the terrible judgments, all that had been brought upon this whorish people. What a grand reversal this is of all the terrible judgments that were to be brought upon you. And to be brought upon me. No longer is our sister called Lo Ruhamah, and our brother Lo Ami. But now say ye unto your brethren Ami, and to your sisters Ruhamah. Dear saints, this is the glorious gospel of our faithful God. He who brings destruction and damnation upon the wicked also brings restoration and salvation to his elect. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you are as captivated by this message of the prophet Hosea as I was when I first read it. What a clear expression of the gospel message that is given over 700 years before the coming of Christ Jesus. Let us never forget that we were those who were to be shown no mercy. That we were those who were not His people. And yet, because of the Spirit's work in bringing us from death unto life, because of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ Jesus, we are sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty. And we are given the promise that one day the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with Him and be their God. Revelation 21:3. Let us never forget this, and let us never forsake that faithful God who remains faithful to His covenants. Let's pray. O Lord, we are so thankful that Thou art faithful in all things. That Thou hast taken us, a wicked and whorish people, a people who were scattered, people who were destroyed, a people who were to receive no mercy, a people who were not Thy people, that Thou hast taken us, and Thou hast no longer scattered us, but planted us for that great day of harvest. That Thou dost give unto us mercy, that which we do not deserve, and Thou restrainest Thyself from giving us that which we do deserve, which is absolute destruction. More importantly, Lord, Thou hast taken us who were not Thy people, who were Gentiles in the way, who were not heirs of the promise, and Thou hast adopted us, made us Thy people, and made us co-heirs with Christ of all things. for thy glory. O Lord, what a glorious gospel truth this is. Let us never forget it. O Lord, we pray for those who are of the remnant of Israel, those who are still scattered among the heathen, that they would return unto Christ. We pray for those who are of the kingdom of Judah, who still claim that identity of Jewish. Lord, let them turn aside from their blasphemous practices of Judaism, and let them join with all those who are the elect of Abraham's seed in recognizing that there is one head over all, and that is King Jesus our Lord. And let them submit to him. O Lord, we pray for the return of the Jews. For great shall be the day of Jezreel. O Lord, let us meditate upon this gospel that is proclaimed here by the prophet Hosea. And let this be what guides us through our lives as we seek to live after thee and seek thy face. O Lord, we ask that thy blessing would be upon us for the remainder of this holy day. And we ask this in Christ Jesus' name, who alone is King and Head of the Church. Amen.